idea.
So they're letting us do it this year. And please, if you can, take your time. Thank you.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Convention Horror Stories. Before we get started with this, I don't know, horror entertainment, horror-tainment, whatever you want to call it, we're going to be telling some screwed-up stories. And if you've been to this panel before, you're going to hear repeats. And that's because if all of this happened in a single year, we would go clinically insane. But don't let this scare you away from staffing a con. We're going to be telling the worst of the worst and the strangest of the strangest. But staffing a con is really rewarding. I've been doing it for a long time, and I recommend it as a great way to participate in the community and meet people and even have a little fun. We're waiting on one panelist, but fuck him. We're going to get started anyway. And so, Andrew, I'm going to pass the microphone to you to introduce yourself.
Oh, sure.
Hey, everyone. My name is Andrew Athan French. I'm a furry writer.
Circles.
You may know me from a comic book from way back called Circles. Or if you're a more modern reader, you might know me from a comic that I do with Ecliptic Confusion called The Pig Pen. So if you know either of those comics, that's my writing. So thank you. I've been part of the furry community since 1993. So I am a true gray muzzle, and I have the gray in my muzzle to prove it. Giza somehow roped me back into this year. I'm not staffing. I don't staff a lot. I was a guest last year, and so I ended up on his list, thanks. But here I am, and you apparently had nothing better to do on a Friday night, so I'll do my best to be vaguely entertaining. So thank you so much.
It's on.
Yeah, it's on. I'm pretty loud anyway.
Is this even,
it's doing something.
You basically have to eat the microphone.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much how they work.
Yeah, exactly.
So, my name is Drac. I've been staffing Anthro New England since it was an idea. I'm one of the directors for the con. I've also been a director for quite a few other failure cons that I probably shouldn't mention, but
please
Maltese
do.
Fur Con, that was one of them.
Please do.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Maybe we were there.
I've been in the con game since about 1996, so I'm a little newer than Andy, but a gray muzzle by that standard as well. I've pretty much been to it and seen it when it comes to the different conventions that happen both in New England and around the country.
I'm just a gray muscle because I'm old.
I'm 41.
I'm 53.
Compared to you guys, I'm a child. My name is Giza. I've been staffing and running conventions up to and including the board of directors level for very nearly a quarter of a century now. I've been doing it since the late 90s, later than you guys. So, and I can stop anytime I want to, I swear. Salem, it's your turn.
One moment, I'm putting out fires.
Yeah, Salem is also staffing this con, as is Drac, as is myself, and sometimes that does interfere with things. But anyway, welcome all the con horror stories. I see people standing in the back. If you want to sit in the aisle or sit off to the side, the sign says we can allow 200 people. If we don't break that number, this doesn't become meta.
Can I take a selfie with you guys?
Yeah, we've done that. We've done that.
You're not all in the photo at all. Everyone,
I'm Miss Pratley.
Everyone get on that half of our room.
Panorama.
All right.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Oh, Salem will be back. He's going to beat someone up. When Salem comes back, we will applaud wildly. He's been having a heck of a day. So, what do we want to talk about first? And we'll pass this microphone between us.
Okay.
Shall we talk about, things that people lose?
Oh, man.
Maybe at the dances, maybe elsewhere.
So, that's definitely one I can cover.
So, if any of you don't know or haven't heard this from me before, most of what I do for conventions deals with AV. I've done a few other things with programming and panels and such, but I generally run in the realm of AV, which means I'm usually in the ballrooms. I'm usually the one operating most of that setup, and we get to open and close the room. So that leads us to some interesting finds most of the time in that space. People leave stuff around, bags, purses, sometimes wallets. It's pretty interesting what's found in most of them. But I would definitely say probably about, it was between 6 or 8 years ago. I can't really remember exactly, but like 2015-16 time frame. We were running Anthro New England, actually, at another hotel. Also here in Boston, over in Cambridge. And one night after one of the dances, we found some interesting piercings laying on the floor. And come to find out the next morning, when the owner showed up to claim it, it was his Prince Albert that had fallen out. So I'll just start it off with that one, and we can go downhill from there.
So I have a mild cheat. I don't actually ever have to deal with lost and found for cons, but I, and Drac knows that I have run LARPs for many, many years. And here's the thing. The stuff left behind after LARPs is fascinating, especially when stuff shows up that isn't your LARP. And it's obviously have been left there before, but I have had a glass eye show up in Lost and Found. I hope it was a prop and not...
It's now.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, my favorite weird Lost and Found story from this is really kind of self-referential because I ran two different LARPs at the same facility. One was a Lovecraft-based horror LARP, and the other one was the standard fantasy LARP that we were running for many years. And apparently I misplaced one of my horror props and didn't realize it, and they found it during my fantasy LARP. And people who had been at the horror LARP were like terrified when the prop showed up again. It was really something very innocuous. It was an Australian pine cone, which sounds like, oh, that's so simple. But if you Google for Australian pine cone, you'll see it looks like a weird kind of oblong thing covered in tiny mouths. It's just basically how it looks, and we found one at a craft store and said, this is the coolest thing ever, and used it as the seed of an elder god in our horror story, and then a player found it and brought it out, and I literally saw all, I knew who had been at our Lovecraft LARP, because they were just like, no. No, 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 you're not crossing over, are you? And I looked at it and said, well, we are now. So so that would probably be one of my favorite stories, but it is a little bit of a cheat.
You must have some good stuff.
Oh, here we go. So I spent many years working in the operations office at AnthroCon, and the things we would find. We would find pants that would show up in the Lost and Found, which it actually all came to a head at this con, because at this con there is a corset in the Lost and Found, so we got a complete set of clothes now.
Geezer, who will be wearing that outfit by the end of the con, out of curiosity?
To be determined.
All right.
We found single fursuit paws in our Lost and Found, so we'd keep an eye out for a fursuiter like missing a hand paw, or in some cases a foot paw. We would regularly at AnthroCon at that volume get multiple driver's licenses, passports, car keys, things you need to get home. And at the end of some of the cons some years, those things weren't claimed. So we would just put them in a box and leave them with the hotel front desk. And I don't know. I hope those people made it home okay. One year we found a gun holster. That was weird and awkward. No gun, just the holster. I don't know if that's better or worse.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's both.
It's something. Let me see what else I got on my dumb little list here. Let's see. Oh, we also have a suitcase at A&E Lost and Found this year. A suitcase.
Just the suitcase?
Yeah, nothing's in it. There is a, what do you call it, the label that airlines put on it. Like, there's a Boston label on it from a recent flight, so someone flew in. They had that suitcase, and then they lost their suitcase somehow.
Or abandoned. Fuck this thing. They just throw it away.
Sure, why not? We can put the corset in it.
It's got Marcellus Wallace's song.
Oh. Let's see, what else can we talk about? Lost and found things. That's the strange stuff on the list. Let me see, the weapons holster. I'll save one thing for later. There's more weird stuff. What else do we want to talk about that goes on at a con? He's back! Woo!
I've had for my appearance in a while.
The best part is that's vodka in the glass.
I wish.
Salem, I have a favor to ask of you before we continue. Can I borrow your hat? So I would like to use it as a collection bowl for the charity. So this is the part where we're going to raise money for the charity real quick. I have a little blurb here. Actually, Drac, would you like to read this off while I take this to the back of the room?
Oh boy, shameless plug. Yeah, it's right there.
All right, just in case any of you aren't aware, the charity we are supporting this year is NEEDS. They are a 501c nonprofit organization that trains service dogs. They're based nearby Boston in Princeton, Massachusetts, and they operate throughout the nation. NEEDS receives very little federal funding, and they really rely on the support of donations and other foundations to help them provide services that are needed from their service animals. So please, if you can give anything to help us support NEEDS, that would be greatly appreciated.
Here's your phone back, Eva.
Please not put condoms in the collection hat this time. We will confiscate those and keep them.
Can I make a shameless plug?
All right,
take the mic.
Actually,
I'm
take
very
the mic.
Loud. Yeah, I am too. I really don't need
this. All right. Hello again. Hi. So if y'all have been around the panel rooms, we do have a couple. We do have QR codes that are set up. We very much look forward to people's opinions and also feedback, so that we can improve our future years. So, if you can take a couple minutes at the end of the panel or sometime during the weekend to fill that out, it's about 17 questions long, we would greatly appreciate that. Bye, Jazz.
Hey, welcome back.
Do you have the clap for him, too?
Thank you.
Apparently not. All right, cool. What else do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about, I don't know, cops, weird stuff with venues? I feel like a game show host on, like, Jeopardy or something, just giving off categories here. Hot tubs.
Oh, no.
I don't know. We could talk about anime cons and hot tubs. So we could talk about weird radio calls. That's always good shit. I got one. I got one about cops and stuff. So
I hit the switch.
You turned it off. So, anyone ever been to MAGFest? A couple of people. MAGFest is Metal and Gaming Festival. It is a video game con. And something that makes it a little different is they have live entertainment. They have bands playing in the evening. So if you want to hear a band, like, doing covers to Mega Man 2, that's the con to go to. I've been there. It's great. Well, I've worked security at that con. And imagine, if you will, Chuck E. Cheese sponsored by Jack Daniels. That was what it felt like. And I knew it was going to be good. My second year working that con, I go into the security office for my shift. And I see on the dry erase board, the whiteboard, I see there's drawn on it 6 stars. And 4 of those stars are filled in. If you've played GTA, you understand what's going on here. 4 stars is when the SWAT team shows up.
5 is the helicopters, I think.
No helicopters, but that was the con where we had SWAT teams, and the radio call that went out was, hey, there's a SWAT team here. They have riot shields and shotguns. And another person on the radio says, that's an improvement over last year. The context being, in the previous year, it was detectives with sample kits and latex Ooh. Gloves. When cops are at a con, it's either fun to watch or not fun to experience. I have another cop story, but I'm going to hang on to that.
All right.
You guys want to?
I don't have a cop story, but I
definitely have an emergency vehicle story. The trouble with any con or LARP or anything that you do is, of course, real life still exists. So you can't just literally turn the world off. And so we had a really, this story has a lot of sad in it, and I apologize, but it also has a lot of wacky towards the end. One of our staff actually passed away in the first campaign of the LARP that we were doing, the fantasy LARP. And I didn't know him very well, but most of the LARP knew him really well. And so most of our staff was basically said, hey, his funeral is today. I'm really sorry because it's the Saturday of the con, or the LARP where a lot of stuff goes on. And we said, no, no problem. We understand, you know, so a whole bunch of our players left, a whole bunch of the staff left. But myself and the head of the LARP were staying behind to basically keep the thing running while other people were gone, which was fine up until the moment when the wife of the head of the LARP had a seizure, at which point we brought in an ambulance, and the two of them went off, and I looked around and kind of went like, so it's me entertaining these 30 people. Cool. So luckily, I'm like to think I'm fairly clever, so I quickly whipped up a kind of weird scavenger hunt thing, threw it together, threw on some costuming, went out, and kind of got it into the hands of the players, and they proceeded to amuse each other for the next few hours as they all competed to try and get these various weird things and to stop each other from getting these various weird things. But it was definitely a scary, scary thing to suddenly be the only staff member trying to entertain a whole lot of people. So that's probably my closest I have. We have had some close calls with cops. I remember one of the first times that we were running our Lovecraft LARP, even before the one that Drac knows about, I did another one with another group of people, and we had what might be the first LARP drive-by shooting, where essentially, yeah, so we told the players, you have to get from point A to point B, and then you are safe. You have gotten to safety, and you are into civilization, and all is well. What we didn't tell the players is that we were having a bunch of our NPCs drive up in a pickup truck to stop them, the cult, basically. And they came, the players were walking down the street, and a standard thing that you would do if you were walking in that street was, if a car came up behind you, you basically said, car, and everybody moved off to the side to let the car go by. And everybody did this very automatically. And as soon as the truck was in front of them, it basically screeched sideways in front of them, and all the players jumped. And all these NPCs with shotguns and whatnot jumped out of the car to confront them. The players, who were exhausted and really having none of it, proceeded to gun that group of NPCs down. And because they were so in the moment, got in the pickup truck and started to drive to the place where they were told was safety. Now, the thing was, there was another group of PCs coming up behind them who needed to make the same run. We were kind of spacing them out a little bit, and the cultist NPCs got up, went off into the woods, gathered themselves up again, and came back to confront the second group of PCs. However, the first group of PCs had noticed this. So they turned the truck around, and we started to hear them all singing the Indiana Jones theme at the top of their lungs as they proceeded to pull up and in a fusillade of Nerf guns demolished the cult. Man, I know my story is not that exciting, but wow. So that was, we're pretty sure, the first LARP drive-by shooting that's ever happened, and the most exciting part was when the cop car went the other way about 2 minutes later, as we were all laughing and walking back and thinking, if that had shown up like 2 minutes earlier, this might have looked really bad. So we have a lot of close calls like that, but that's probably my closest. So,
who likes to drink? Salem's going to tell us a story about the time he had too much.
Oh, God. Which time? That's the question. whichever time you remember. Very few. Go for it.
All right. So I guess I'm like playing back off of emergency vehicles and everything. I don't know how many of you have been to the con since 2014, 2015. Well, anyways, back in, I think, what was it, 2015? Yeah, MFF 2015, Chlorine Con. Great time. Excellent time. Would not do it again. Anywho, the night started off pretty nice. Going around like I'm new, fresh-faced, because I started going to cons in 2014. I'm excited. Amazingly excited. I have great friends. They encourage me to do things. So we're sitting in a hotel room drinking. Going back and forth, we're drinking. Well, at the time it was a handle of Fireball. Can't drink Fireball no more. so we're doing shot for shot. Well, we got the brilliant idea to go first sitting. So half of the group got in their suits, which is great because we're all pretty nice and toasty. I'm the mostly sober person. That was not the case. So we go down, frolicking around, which is fantastic. And we start to go up, because we're all feeling a little tired. Well, the alarm goes off. And us being us, we're going like, it's just a fire drill. Someone pulled the other thing. Well, lo and behold, that was not the case. We got stopped right at the top of the elevator. It's like, hey, you need to turn around, go down and evacuate. Well, can we get at least their jackets? No, sir, you cannot. It's like, all right, guess we're going outside. Now, mind you, this is Chicago in the middle of December. When, I think that was around 1, 2 in the morning. Yeah, around that time. Sounds about right. So it's really, really cold. And here we are, three fursuiters, three people in, shorts and t-shirts. All right, well, no one's telling us anything. So we're going like, all right, we're just going to go find somewhere to lay low. So we go to the next hotel, one of the overflows. We're sitting there, like, laying around and thinking, we get kicked out because there was a wedding party that decided to break a porta-pot, break one of the toilets. And they blamed it on us. So, all right, we get moving again. We go on to another hotel, and this time we lay low. We are nowhere to be seen. They didn't see us come in. We're intrusive. It was great. We laid low there, and then they found us. So we got kicked out again. But man, we found beer. Along the way, somewhere we found beer. And that was a bad idea. Because we just kept the buzz going. It was great, but bad. And then, once we finally got back to the main hotel, we were told, hey, you're going to stay in the lobby until we can make sure everything's okay. Well, lo and behold, half of us had to drive 15 and a half hours back with a hangover, and that was not fun. But it was a great story. Well, at least this wasn't. No, that wasn't. Now, if I had a couple drinks, that would be a different story. Geez, how you doing over there, bud?
So much money.
Oh, so much money. Oh, sweet.
Send help.
Yeah.
Send help.
Yeah. Yeah, someone have a better story, because mine suck, apparently. Jack.
Go for a story. I know you got some good stories.
To kind of loop back on one of the subjects that Giza mentioned in his little list, he happened to bring up the subject of hot tub. So,
hot tub.
Many of you in this room may have heard of the convention Rainforest. Not sure if any of you have ever attended that convention, but for a couple of years, I was on their staff.
I'm sorry.
So, we had just moved to the Hilton next to the Seattle-Tacoma Airport, also known as SeaTac. And that Hilton was a very nice facility. It's a relatively large building that has this area in the center that's kind of outdoors and has a little pool and a hot tub pavilion, which can be seen throughout about three quarters of the inside of the building through an all-glass wall. So, a couple of us are getting ready near the end of the night. Sun has gone down. We're going over to the other part of the convention center where the ballroom was, which was actually on top of the parking garage. end, walk through the lobby, turn the corner around the building, and we just see this tube of bubbles coming up in the air out of the hot tub. And then three of the hotel engineering staff running at the fastest speed they possibly can, screaming, "Shut it off! Shut it off! Shut it off!" And we came to find out about an hour later that someone had dumped an entire bottle of dish soap in the hot tub. Not one of those small ones either. Like, we're talking, they went to Costco and bought the gallon size.
It's probably cleaner than it has been in years, to be fair.
After all the furries that were in that hot tub, that may have been an improvement. Right. Considering some of the other things that happened at that convention. However, needless to say, that was one of the many reasons we were asked to not return.
So, do you know how much ramen it takes to fill a hot tub? The answer is 5 5-gallon buckets. That's how much the hotel scooped out at an anime con in the Midwest. They were so pissed off that the principals of that con got blacklisted from all Starwood properties. That was a banhammer and a half. All right, I'm going to pass this on so I can go back to counting.
So we've actually very naturally segued to the subject of food. You're at a con. Odds are you're probably not where you live. So you find yourself exploring and looking for what's the local food options. And some of you will know that Anthrocon was originally Albany Anthrocon. And if you're old like me, you were probably there at some point. And we quickly found out that, well, what are the close by food options? Well, there's a Denny's. We like to refer to Denny's. Nobody goes to Denny's. You end up at Denny's. So that's what we call it. It's the restaurant you end up at. So we went... against better judgment. And I remember we went twice, and my God, what's wrong with me? But the first time wasn't terrible, though the onion rings tasted like ozone, which is, that's the only way I can describe it. It was like, does this taste vaguely like electricity to you? You know, it was just the strangest thing. I couldn't explain it. But the second day we went, and the meal, in fact, overall was fine, in as much as a Denny's meal is ever fine. But then we had dessert. And, well, what's for dessert? Oh, well, we have a chocolate silk pie. And I'm like, that sounds suspiciously delicious. So I will have a slice of your chocolate silk pie. So I'm eating my chocolate silk pie, and somewhere about midway through the slice, I think, this tastes oddly piney. Evergreen is not a flavor I normally associate with a chocolate silk pie. So again, suspicion begins to dawn, and then I crack into the back crust of the pie, which breaks apart to reveal the veins of green. It was in my stomach. What are you guys worried about? So I called the waitress over, who looked and basically said, "Oh," and took it away and comped my dessert. Not my meal, not the food for the entire table, but my dessert. And I said, never again will I go to a Denny's, which I actually kept that oath for a good long time, but Denny's is in fact the restaurant you end up at sometimes, so, you know, I wish I could tell you I have kept that oath, but I did become an oath breaker against my will when I was literally like, so where are we going to dinner? And the whole group of people I was with was like, there's a Denny's right out in the parking lot. And I protested in vain. And since they were driving, I had no choice.
So the money has been counted, and you guys outdid yourselves. This is an all-time record for this panel. We raised $278.66 for the charity. Nicely done. Even with inflation, that's a huge jump.
Turn again.
Do you have food horror stories or anything?
Oh, now I've got to come up with material.
That's why I brainstorm this stuff.
Well, this is probably a wildly inappropriate food horror story. However,
so that's good then.
We're going to circle back to that wonderful con that begins with the letter R. So, we are going to close out the hotel bill at the end of the con and try to close the expenses with the different departments that go on with the hotel. One of them is food and beverage. So, many of you might not be aware, most hotels and venues have minimums to the amount of food and beverage purchases that an event needs to have in order to meet expense requirements. Some of that includes the food that the event itself serves. Others includes food that is ordered through room service. So, we go through the bills and go through the bills and go through the bills and look at all the invoices that were charged and some of the things that were not paid. Come across one to a certain room. The number really doesn't matter because it's not one of those famous room numbers that had a meme posted about it. But we see basically the equivalent of a 5-gallon pail of oatmeal. Needless to say, I won't finish this story, but that was when I learned what oatmeal parties are.
Right now, half the room is Googling oatmeal parties. And the other half is just shaking their head in sadness.
Well, the other half is going to get the most fucked up Google ads ever.
Yes, let's go.
I actually know someone who was involved with My Little Pony Cons for a while. And they were responsible for, they were Googling all this My Little Pony stuff from their office, and all their coworkers started getting ads from My Little Pony conventions and merchandise. And they didn't say anything, so no one knew why. Salem, do you want to tell one, or do you want me to tell one?
I might have a room service story. All right. Maybe. It's not really that fun, but it's definitely.
Here's what you're going to do. While I tell the next story, you're going to brainstorm on ways to make it fun.
Well, I mean...
You will be judged.
Well, then it won't be that's true. Fine. I'm judged constantly, so okay.
All right.
The old building has an Urban Dictionary story. Now.
Yes, it does.
No, I don't need to know that. So, let's talk about Lost and Found again. Something we found in the AC Lost and Found one year was ticks.
Like the insect?
Well, that's a bird, but no, actual like gel inserts.
Oh, like that large pair that Harold had.
Sorry, T-I-T-S. I apologize. Yes. I misheard.
Tits, breasts, boobies, knockers.
Yes. On it.
Okay, just so we're clear.
Golden bozos.
So how did tits wind up in Lost and Found? Early in the con, there was an attendee, and we don't know what they did, or it could have been nothing, in fact. But they came to the attention of a police officer, and the police officer detained them and started asking questions. And when you're detained by the police, you have a few options. What I like to do is not talk to the police, because that takes the least amount of effort, and usually is the best outcomes, because if you don't say anything, they don't have anything on you necessarily. Now, going down that flowchart, you could talk to the police if you feel lucky. You know, want to roll some dice. It might work, it might not. Personal preference. If you want to go further down that flowchart, you could try running from the police. That's always a fun time. Just roll a lot of dice at once. Make them work for it, sure. You might get lucky. I wouldn't do it, but, you know, I'm not going to judge you if you want to run. For most of us, that flowchart stops there. This person went with option D. They decided they were going to try and take the officer's gun.
Oh.
Did you know that cops really hate that? I had no idea. Really pisses them off. So that happened, and shit went down, followed by that person going down to the ground very quickly when they were handcuffed. And Newton's first law says an object at rest remains at rest, and this person had gel inserts. And at one point during the struggle, they kind of went, and their tits just kind of, I understand, briefly floated in midair, thunk, right on the ground. And that is how we wound up with tits in our lost and found. They did not get claimed because what was reported to us later was that this person had outstanding warrants in 5 states. So the problem just kind of took care of itself, I guess. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen in a con lost and found, and how it got there.
It might have protected them from the injury as the cops, you know, dropped them face first onto the ground.
I don't know. That's just, I've never heard of anything like that happening at a con ever.
No.
Don't take their guns. They hate that. Drac, you want to go?
I thought we were
Salem?
Gonna put Salem on the bench for a minute.
Well, since we didn't vet the story beforehand, this could be interesting. So I go to other cons outside of this. Both work related and non-work related. So this is going to be a work related one. So if you all don't know me, I work in the railroad industry, and we have some very interesting people, very conservative people. Well, cassette. So I started going to those conventions a couple years back because that's how you network with people in that industry. So halfway through the con, there's a big commotion. We're all sitting in the hospitality suite drinking away. A lot of commotion going on. We're going like, what the hell? So we're all pretty plastered. So we all go from the hospitality suite up to the main lobby. What's going on? We're all curious. This is like a two-floor hotel. Small. Very small. About 100 people total. So really small. Well, All of a sudden, we see Greg come out. Well, that's not good. Well, there is a gentleman there who's a contractor who's very, very southern liberal. Oh, not liberal, very conservative gentleman. And after talking to the president of the organization over a couple of times, we found out what happened. Apparently he called the president. He was like, "Hey, I got a problem." Oh boy. So he goes to the hotel room to see what's going on. Well, he opens up the door, and he had a lady caller from the local area. Now keep in mind this was in Georgia. Interesting place. And he goes, "I saw this lady arms deep in him." Apparently, according to him, her arm got stuck. And so here's this very large man, very conservative, with an arm stuck in him. And he looked exactly like Kermit the Frog. And now, the president here is just laughing his ass off, and, well, for the story, we'll call him Cletus. Poor Cletus is not having any of it. And he's like, I need help. Close the door. And it's like, well, there's no real way we can have this not be public because, well, how the hell are we going to explain all this? Well, they tried. And rumors start very quickly in 100-person con. So EMTs come, carefully extracted this lady's arm, and he gets wheeled out on a gurney. Oh. He's laid down in front. He comes back on the last day. And at this point, we all know the story. Well, half of the convention called him Kermit the Frog.
The other half, and this is the half that I belong in, we started calling him Uncle Fister. So I just saw this man this last week as I was down in North Carolina for the same conference, and he was there after a couple year hiatus. And lo and behold, I made the mistake after a couple of drinks, like, "Hey, Uncle Fister, how's it going?" And I have never saw a Southern man turn as red as that man did. that was a highlight of that con. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, jeez.
See, for me, there's no differentiation now because my boss found my Twitter.
Oh, see, minor. It's weird how the dichotomy of my work and things, it kind of intertwines at this point, but not entirely.
Whenever I take time off now, my boss just goes, "What con are you going to?" So I got him back. I wore my first suit to the office on Halloween.
Yeah.
Turns out everyone loves goats.
Oh. All right, do you want to?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Let's see. I definitely cannot top Uncle Fister. Nor would I want to.
I think you're all set.
But I do have a story that reminded me of. I was not staff for this con, but it was at a Further Confusion many, many years ago. Yeah, we love Further Confusion. It's a great con. Always enjoyed it. We used to staff it. Not staff it, but we used to work in the dealer's room when Circles were first coming out. They were nothing but nice to us. I have nothing but super positive things to say about them. And they're also, at least they were at the time, very funny. And very, well, let's say a punishment fit the crime sort of situation. There was a commotion, and I saw some kerfuffle happening, and I said, "Well, I know some of the con staff. This is many years ago. I don't think they still run it." But later on, I approached my friend and said, "So what was that all about?" And they said, "Well, there was a complaint because one of the hotel staff went into the public restroom and noticed two pairs of legs in one of the stalls." And oops, yeah, exactly. And I said, "Well, what happened?" They said, "Well, they brought it to our attention and we like kind of caught them coming out and we knew who they were." I said, I don't need names, but now I want to know details, obviously. So they said, "Well, it was actually two bottoms who were cheating on their top with each other." And bear in mind that at the time, you know, there's a very strong BDSM sort of situation with some of the staff of that con way back in the day. And I said, "Well, how did you handle it?" And they said, "Easy. We told their top." I said, "Cool, but fitting." So the hotel staff were very cool and let them handle it, and it didn't cause any problems. We were back in the same hotel the next year. I never found out what happened to them. I don't imagine it was good. Or maybe it was. I mean, you know, it was that kind of relationship. It might have been real fun. But I always thought that was one of the best, "Hey, we know how to handle you guys" kind of situation. So
that's brutal.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's sort of awful, but also kind of hilarious. You know, it was.
So let's talk about property damage.
I have one.
So y'all been to Midwest Fur Fest? So some lovely hotels, the Hyatt Regency, what city is that? Rosemont, suburb of Chicago. Hyatt Regency Rosemont. It's a very nice hotel. And when you go into the main area, there's this big 10-story tall atrium. And then the main, like the floor space, it's actually three floors. And there's like a ground floor and a basement. And there's like the top floor where the front desk is. And on the top floor, one of the neat things they have is some of the floor panels are actually glass, so that, you know, light can come through. You can walk on the glass. The glass is pretty thick. You can jump on the glass, and it's fine. Do you know what it takes to make that glass break? A 20-pound frozen turkey tossed off the 10th floor.
I remember this story.
So, yeah, so that's a good question. Who brings a 20-pound frozen turkey to a con? So this was Anime Central, which was held in that hotel, and it was a bunch of 18-year-old kids who rented a hotel room, or I think the parents rented it for them. The parents wanted them to go to the con and have a good time, and the parents didn't go with the kids. The parents were like, have fun. Now, the parents, being good parents, are like, we don't want you to starve, so we'll, like, buy you some groceries so you can, like, eat meals in the hotel room. It was the parents who decided it would be a great idea to buy them a 20-pound frozen turkey to consume in a hotel room. Now, I'm not a parent, but I'm that age, and this logic confuses me. I feel like I missed a memo. Because you can't even fit that in the hotel microwave. So the turkey did not hit anyone. I am told it bounced. It cracked the glass. I'm also told that this is next to the open-air bar that is next to the O restaurant in the hotel. And at the time, there was a bartender pouring a drink, only to have this turkey a few feet away crash through the little glass overhang, crash through that, and then bounce off the glass floor. The bartender looks at that, finishes pouring the drink, and... because he dodged a bullet, or in this case, a frozen turkey.
I need to recover from that.
Well, since we're on the subject of property damage, I'm going to go a few years back to Anthro New England 2015. So the hotel we originally started at was over in Cambridge. For whatever reason, I cannot remember the name of it right now. But we got into that building right after they finished doing a renovation. They had a bunch of new carpeting, new fixtures, new chandeliers and sconces in their ballroom. So the chandeliers look like these large, ornate glass objects. Turns out they're not. They were all plexiglass or Lexan. So the glass-looking accents on these things were very, very thick, heavy pieces of plastic. The average piece of them was about 2 feet long, roughly two and a half inches in diameter, and weighed about 12 pounds. And they were about 20 feet above your head. So we had the first night's dance, and within about 2 hours of the dance starting, it was basically raining plastic stalagmites. And throughout the course of that weekend, I think that ballroom lost about 40 of them. No one got injured, amazingly enough.
That is good.
Because those would have caused some severe bodily harm. But the hotel spent 2 years after that apologizing to us for the poor engineering. I'll also follow this one up with a story about our last hotel, the Boston Park Plaza. So the Park Plaza also had another renovation where they basically replastered an old facade that was built, I believe it was in the early 10s or 20s for that hotel. That building's been there for a very long time. It's a lot older than the one we're in right now. Basically, the entire building is Portland cement and plaster. Unlike modern construction like this one, which is all steel and concrete. But about 15 years ago, that building had a massive plumbing leak that caused a lot of water damage that they hid underneath the plaster. So, again, ballroom operations being what they are, shook the plaster. It wasn't attached to anything. and we lost about 100 pounds of plaster onto the dance floor. And it opened up a gaping hole above the stage of this just giant rusted concrete pit.
Attractive.
Yeah. That once again, fortunately, no one got injured. But the hotel wasn't very happy about the problem that they created.
That sounds like a them problem.
Oh, it was. It was a fight, but it definitely was. It turns out they damaged their own property and tried to get us to pay for it.
Jesus.
Well, I have a property damage story if you want.
Yeah.
Well, before I pass you that, thinking, being killed by falling plastic or being killed by falling plaster, like, while wearing a fursuit at a furry con, like, no insurance company will believe that. You know, like, that's the sort of thing that will show up in one of those commercials for Farmers Insurance where they talk about weird claims, you know. Struck by falling plaster while dressed as a fox.
Well,
if that's the case, what about getting struck by a falling turkey and dying by that?
Oh, shit.
The insurance company would never believe it unless they got video of it.
That's probably on 1,000 Ways to Die.
So, a property damage story. Who was that for Apocalypse this past year? So, those of you who weren't, let me tell you a story. Those of you who were, come back with me, won't you, to that time. So, the hotel is interesting. They're at a new hotel. I have theories. I think the hotel has just been purchased by the group that owns it, and they're probably going, man, we got renovations to do. But that's cool. You know, we'll do them. And wait, we have a con when? Because there are some interesting structural issues with that hotel. However, the story I will tell you is, I will tell you my version, and then I'll tell you what I was told by someone who says they witnessed it, which is way more interesting than my version. We heard a crash, and we're like, the heck? So we went to the lobby. The lobby basically has windows facing. There are rooms. It's like a big courtyard-type lobby, and there are rooms facing into said courtyard. I was in one. It was actually kind of nice. And one of the windows was quite clearly no longer there. From a floor about, you know, 4-5 stories up. And very quickly, the hotel staff were taping off that area. And you could see all the glass, shattered glass all over the floor. And we're like, man, what happened? So we talked to a friend, and he said, oh, yeah, I was in my room when it happened. And I happened to be looking out. He said, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that person saw someone in the lobby below them and started banging on the glass to try and get their attention. And we're wearing a ring, and it shattered the window, which proceeded to crash down. And he said, I saw him standing there just staring for a moment, sheepishly waved to the person, and then backed away from the window. And again, I don't know what particular deity watches over furry cons, but no one was hurt, as far as I am aware, by this falling of this window. But it was a hell of a noise, and I can only imagine what it looked like when it happened. And I do kind of wish I had seen it. Whether it was, we heard a million rumors afterwards what had caused it, but that was really something. I'll be curious to see what happens next year once they've had some time to hopefully do some fixes. There were things that I can speak to personally. For example, there was not even vaguely adequate parking in the parking garage, because half of the parking garage was filled with tables and chairs for some inexplicable reason, and a number of cars that apparently had been there for months and months and were presumably abandoned. Also, when you saw the rooms that had, like, the ice machines in them, there was, like, all kinds of, like, exposed pipes
and things. So I suspect, as I say, it's been taken over by a very reputable hotel group. And from what I did, the little research I did, it looks like they had only bought it a month or two prior to the con. So my guess is that they bought it, were planning to renovate, and realized they had a huge furry con coming in and had to make do as best they can. So we'll hope.
Yeah, we've had times when the hotel is like, oh shit, we gotta fix stuff. But we had a hotel do the opposite once. Getting back to MAGFest, aka the con with a lot of drunk people. MAGFest used to be... Oh, you're taking off?
Yeah, the dance floor, or the stage is apparently coming apart.
What?
Con Horror Stories Live!
Wow, that tops anything I got. Jeez.
We'll have that one next year.
So MAGFest. MAGFest used to be the weekend, first weekend in January, basically the first weekend after New Year's. And something I talk about in the How to Start a Con panel, which was the panel right before this one, is I'm like, have good hotel relations because I'll do favors for you. And what the MAGFest hotel would do is like they knew it's like, yeah, lots of drunk people and they break things. And the hotel said to MAGFest, no problem. Here's what we'll do. We won't fix any of the damage from New Year's Eve, and then we'll assess after MAGFest and just build the New Year's Eve parties. And it worked.
Seems I like that.
Speaking of like windows and glass and falls, I think it was at Megaplex a few years ago where someone fell, possibly under the influence of a lot of substances, like off a fourth-story balcony. And the crazy thing was they survived, and what was credited to it was they were wearing their fursuit head, and it apparently protected their head. The head got wrecked pretty badly, but it doubled as a helmet. Don't jump off fourth-story balconies, please.
Did they jump or did they fall?
I don't know. It's unclear.
Oh,
it's
okay,
unclear.
Fair.
What is clear is they went in a vertical straight drop for four stories, and that's not good. Salem, you got any stories about... Do you have any sequels to Uncle Fister?
Well, no sequels to Uncle Fister, but I think I got a pretty decent turkey story.
Oh, you got a turkey story too?
I think I got a turkey story.
Does it involve fisting?
No, it does not.
Tell us.
All right. So, I think this had to have been... Oh, FurPop 2014, 2015. Very early on. So, once again, adult beverages, libations.
So many stories.
So it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the dance is already let out. And we decide to go up to the parking lot. And if you've been at the old hotel FurPop, you know it's a party until about 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, you also know that a good portion of the parking garage was sketchy at best. So we're walking out and trying to stumble around a little bit. So we walk up the ramp. All of a sudden we hear a little bit of scrambling around. Like, someone's over there probably having fun. Whatever. No, that wasn't. So we're walking up a little bit more and then finally we're just going, all right, we got to find out what's going on over there. Because there's just a lot of commotion. So we go over. And here is this group of people, about three at most. And they have their tailgate open. And there is, it had to have been like a 10-pound turkey. It was a fully cooked turkey. Just sitting there. And they're just sitting, just pulling it apart.
No.
And we're like, hold on, like, I'm looking at my cohorts at that point, I'm like, is this really happening? Like, oh, what's going on? Like, we were hungry. I'm like, well, so are we. Would you like some? No! I do not want parking lot turkey. Well, one of my cohorts goes like, yes. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not dragging you back to the room, whatever. You're on your own if you eat parking lot turkey. So we go up and do our thing. We're out there drinking, partying. We come back down. We're still eating the turkey. About an hour and a half later, it's like, why? What in the name of God's screaming earth are you doing now?
Turkey is delicious.
Well, it's delicious, and I 100% agree, but not parking lot turkey.
Turkey is turkey.
Out of all the places to eat a turkey, parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning, well, now it's 3 at this point, is not a place I'm going to have a turkey. Especially out of the back of someone's hatchback. Would not do it.
I mean,
did your coworkers say it was good?
They said it was okay.
So that's only a little less concerning than Stairway Pizza that we had at A&E last year. Oh, some of you know about it. There was, throughout most of the con, on the fourth floor landing in the stairwell, a pizza that was open, and I think it was half eaten. It was just sitting in the stairwell. Stairway Pizza.
3 days.
Oh, 3 days?
3 days. I monitor every time it went down.
But did the number of slices diminish?
Yes!
What?
Wow. That was on the panel's floor, and I remember that because I was running up and down those steps a million and a half bajillion times. And I also saw that. Well, the first day it started off as a half.
Okay, that sounds like a trap out of, like, Tom and Jerry or something. I'm not going to lie. That sounds like it's like out of a cartoon. You know, like, free pizza. Totally suspicious.
It was. There was like a couple slices missing originally when it first was discovered. And then I think it was on that night when it was discovered, there was more pizza missing. We went from like probably like 3/4 to half. And we're like, what? Did you just leave it there and come back? That is not where I would leave a pizza.
What you don't know is that mice had secretly ordered it and were just having the time of their lives, coming back one slice at a time.
I dearly, dearly want to know what degree did alcohol and or drugs play in this, both the placing of the pizza and subsequent consumption?
Alcohol, because did you see the beer bottle, the beer cans in that same stairwell?
No.
Oh, I should have went up a couple floors. There was a massive treasure trove of alcohol containers.
Oh, yeah.
I swear, I don't know if y'all are familiar from the area. A beer distributor. It looked like a beer distributor in there. There were just cans everywhere.
When I was at Furry Connection North many years ago, the predecessor to MCFC in Michigan, one of my friends was doing drinking parties all weekend, and I walked into his room on Sunday afternoon, and you look at the windowsill, and it's like the window is one of those window is as wide as the room, basically. So it's like a 6 foot plus wide windowsill, maybe 8 foot. And he had empty beer cans stacked up along the windowsill, and he had 3 rows of empty beer cans. And this room was overlooking the main entrance to the hotel, so people could see it coming in. Just look up, 3 rows of beer cans.
Well, we did do that at the last conference. We did have a beer can in the main lobby going on. It was a pretty good pyramid.
Do you need it or not?
Am I not?
You missed when we were talking about Stairway Pizza.
Yeah. I definitely missed what was going on, but I will open back up with this. Did anybody know that you could surf a stage?
What?
What?
That's crazy.
Here we go.
Yes.
So apparently the event we had in there before, DigiFest, if anybody attended, the performers were a little rowdy on the stage, as you get with that style of music, and doing a lot of jumping around. The stage is in sections that lock together. The locks apparently are not that secure, and a couple of the stage parts started moving across the dance floor because of the motion of the DJs on the stage, and they were slowly making their way across the dance floor with the DJs on them. So there's a new one to add to the convention horror stories.
Wow.
DJs surfing the dance floor.
Was that captured on the screen?
Probably not. It may have been, but I think we caught it in time.
Wouldn't it be funnier if it just, like, hit a wall and just, like, stayed against the wall? You know, we show up for closing ceremonies and the stage just moved 10 feet away.
So that's a new one to add to my book of weird things that happen in AV.
Jack, next year, let's put the stage on caster wheels and not tell anyone. Just let them figure it out. The stage starts moving. All right, who wants to tell a story?
Ooh.
we got about 10 minutes left, so now it's time to break up the really crazy ones. Because they're the ones you want people to remember as they leave.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Because I've been holding back.
All right, I guess I'll tell one. Or do you want Salem?
Well, no, I'm answering him there.
All right.
I'm not entirely sure. I've seen some stuff over the years, so
right.
I'm never really sure. I wish me and him got together to kind of vet some stuff because
brainstorm stuff for next year. I actually keep a running doc, and I brainstorm. I'm going to put this stage surfing story into that because that's great, and it happened during the panel. Like that stage waited for this moment.
It really did.
So I got a story. A couple years ago, two Decembers ago, in 2021. I took a Christmas time road trip on vacation. I drove 1,000 miles from Philadelphia to Iowa. Why would I do such a thing?
I have no idea.
Well, I had a very good reason to do it. It was to buy a fursuit. So you gotta have goals. So I drove from Philly to Iowa, and I didn't do it all in one trip. I had a stopover in the middle of Ohio, and I rented a hotel room online through Travelocity, and I pulled in this hotel parking lot around 5:30 p.m. It was on a Sunday evening. It was dark out because it was December. And I get my luggage, and I'm walking up to the front door of the hotel. And I see a dude standing out front, and they're holding a plushie. And I'm like, that's a hell of a thing. You don't normally see that at a hotel. And I walk inside, and I see about 20 dudes just kind of milling around in the lobby, and then I notice some of them are wearing My Little Pony t-shirts. I'm like, huh. And then I look up, and I see hanging from the ceiling, I see a banner, and the banner says, "Welcome to TrotCon." I accidentally attended a My Little Pony convention.
I did not know it was there.
So I thought to myself, well, shit, I'm stuck here, so I'll deal with it. So I check in, go to my room, order some food for delivery, come back to the lobby to wait for the delivery driver, and I'm just sitting there. I'm wearing street clothes. I'm not wearing anything furry related. And a random person walks up to me, and they said, "Excuse me, are you Giza?" And I said, "Fuck, also yes." Turns out it was someone I knew online, and that's how I ended up hanging out and drinking with a bunch of bronies that night. And then I got my fursuit.
Well, I have a crossover con story.
Oh, no.
No, it's good. So, Maltese Fur Con, we were talking about that a little bit. Only ran 1 year. Definitely an interesting concept, but a difficult execution, let us say. We're in there, and you know it's going on as much as a furry con does. And then we started realizing that all these older women were showing up, and it was like, this is odd, like not the normal crowd we would be expecting to be at a fur con. And we realized they were also wearing con badges, but not our con badges. Because it turned out there was like a Days of Our Lives convention happening in the hotel literally next door to us. Like, we'd be running a panel in one room, and the next room was theirs. And they actually loved us. They kept coming over, and clearly we were having a lot more fun. And they kept coming over and hanging out in our con, and I think we were kind of like, sure, why not? So I know some of them attended the dances because I saw them, and they look like they're having a hell of a time. You know, seeing a bunch of golden girls dancing with a bunch of, you know, fursuiters is kind of a crazy thing. But I think when it boils down to it, I always like to say that every fandom is essentially the same at its core. Like, every fandom has the best and the worst people you'll ever meet. Like, I tell people that all the time. I say, I go to furry cons, I meet the best people that you'll ever know in your life. People that give money to charity, they'll give you the shirt off your back if you need it. They will support you. And yet, also, some of the worst people you will ever meet in your entire life. Just because every fandom has that element in it. And I think that was really driven home for me by the crossover furry soap opera con, because we really all did seem like the same people, just different outfits. So, you know, so You have a crossover con story?
Oh, I do.
Oh, excellent.
So, since Andy brought up Maltese again, I was their AV director, and speaking of the Days of Our Lives con, that was one of the moments at that convention where I had another DJ doing a, like, disco kind of set, as you do, because some people really love that retro scene. Those women really did. So, I was in the dance, wearing my fursuit at the time, trying to actually relax for once in an event, which never happens for me. And a group of these old women, who were very interested in finding out what furries are and what we were all about, kind of came up and asked a few questions, as much as you can in a dance. And then one of them grabbed me very inappropriately and looked at me and then said, "Oh, you're a boy dog." And needless to say, I had no reply to that. Got out of my fursuit and went back to doing my job.
So, Salem, I'm looking at the staff channel on Telegram, and they're talking about Uncle Fister. And someone said, "Ain't that a much younger furry said, "Ain't that the Addams Family, dude?" Yeah. So I responded with, "Not exactly," spelled K-N-O-T.
Yeah. I just. So then someone from this room posted it.
Yes, that's how it works. All right, we're coming up on time, so I'm going to wrap up with a story that I like to tell because it's one of the weirder stories I've heard. This is back in the early 2010s at AnthroCon when smartphones, yeah. That's a thing.
I can't wait for that.
I can't wait for Icon. Icon, iOS.
AICon.
Ooh. Anyway. So smartphones weren't as much of a thing back then. Flip phones were the thing. And it was Saturday night, and we had some drunk people, as cons do. And there was a really drunk attendee in the lobby of the Westin to the point where, like, he couldn't get back to his room by himself. And he was not staying in the Westin. He was staying in another hotel. And con security was there looking after him, and there was a police officer present. And the police officer actually had a good idea. He said, you're staying with roommates. Why don't you call one of your roommates and see if they can come get you and take you back to your room?
I just remembered the story.
So drunk guy whips out his flip phone and, you know, like, scrolls as best he can and dials a number, and he is too drunk to talk at this point. So he just hands the phone to the cop to let the cop do the talking. And see, drunk guy thought he dialed one of his roommates. Drunk guy was really drunk. Drunk guy shouldn't have been using his phone. Drunk guy called his mom. I can only imagine how that conversation must have went. "Ma'am, this is a police officer. Your son is fine. He's very drunk, but it's okay. Animal people are looking after him. Bye!" And with that, we are at time. Thank you so much for coming to Convention Horror Stories. Please take care of yourselves.
Not just. All right. Yeah.